Greetings in the Lord. It is the 21st day of September in the year of our Lord 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Now, it's been a little bit of time since we've done our last episode, and I do apologize that we've had to take some time off. My schedule has become increasingly busy. The Lord has been good to us, and some of the busyness is because of the Lord's blessings on our church. The church has grown. That means there's more opportunities for pastoral care and more opportunities for me to organize and do ministry of the church. And that means at times this podcast has taken a back burner. Also, my wife is pregnant and in the last few days of pregnancy. And so we're looking forward to another blessing to add to our family. So I say all that to say, yes, we've had to take some time off from the podcast, but I haven't forgot it. And it is my intention to continue to do the podcast as often, as daily as I can for you. And so I'm going to try to do that this week as much as possible. And I know some of you have reached out and let me know that you appreciate and you enjoy this podcast. And I'm thankful for that. And I enjoy doing it. It is it's a good thing to be able to sit down and read this much scripture to you and to encourage you to continue the battle, to fight, and to fight with prayer and worship and praise. So with that in mind, we're going to begin today, and our call to faith and repentance is going to come from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 through 48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. This passage comes to us in the book of Deuteronomy towards the end, when Moses is laying out the promises and the threats of the covenant to the people of God. And one of the warnings he gives them is how God will judge them. And listen to what God will judge them for. It's because they did not serve the Lord with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. That is, they were not glad. They did not have joy. You are commanded by the Lord to have joy. To have joy. And wouldn't it be amazing that we would be known as Christians, not with sour and dour looks, not with such a rigid coldness, but rather, would it not be good if we were known for our joy, our amazing gladness at the abundance that God has given us and at His commands? Doug Wilson writes in a book called Angels in the Architecture, "What if we were known by our enemies not for our shallow sentimentalism and indifference to beauty, but as that community most exuberantly living life to the fullest, full of eating, drinking, and merriment?" You know, as Christians, we do have a great commitment to the truth, and truth is strong, it's unyielding, we should not back away from truth. But there is a time, there's a way that we can in our hearts also allow our hearts to become so cold and indifferent that we don't see these truths that are indifferent, these truths that are really rigid and unyielding as truths that should move us to joy and laughter and gladness. All throughout Scripture, we are commanded to worship and praise God with joy. Not with the false joy of this world or empty laughter. You know, the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the laughter of empty fools. It's one of the Proverbs. It's a better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Ecclesiastes says, "For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity." And so we're not just Christians who put on a fake smile and everything is nice and everything is just wonderful. But rather, Scripture teaches us we're to have joy whether we have much or we have little. The Apostle Paul spoke often of the joy that he had even in the midst of persecution. That he praised the Lord because the Lord had saved him. And so we don't put on this fake smile, but really the joy that we have comes because we recognize these great truths that we are sinners and we deserve the wrath of God. And there is nothing, not a thing that we can do on our own to free us from that. That is where we're headed. We're like a man headed off a cliff, and not a small cliff, but one that is deep. And yet we're rescued from that. And there's a sense of relief, a sense of joy from that. Ecclesiastes 9:7 says, "Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works." What good news. As Christians, we should be full of joy and gladness. Now, brothers, that's very hard to do when our hearts are weighed down with sin. Sin keeps us from true happiness and joy. Sin always weighs us down. And we are sinners. And we do deserve the wrath of God. So the pathway to joy then is to acknowledge where we are at. Not attempt to cover our sins or to hide them, but rather to confess our sins with a holy, humble, repentant, an obedient heart. And we do that so that we may receive forgiveness by His infinite goodness and mercy and know the joy of the Lord. So today, as we come before His throne to receive instruction and lift up our petitions, let us first bow our knees and plead for the mercy of God. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into Your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from You if You dealt with us as we deserve. We've sinned against You, O Lord, and we have offended You. And yet, O Lord, as we acknowledge our sins and offenses, so also do we acknowledge You to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father to all who turn to You. And so we humbly ask You, for the sake of Christ Your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By Your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by You, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with You and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Dear brothers, the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He pardons and absolves all who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Therefore, we beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do at this present, and the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There it is, brothers. We are looking forward to that eternal joy that we have. We have joy in this life, and we are to have joy within us. And here's one of the great promises of Scripture, right? We are to have joy within us in this life. But when we die, the Scripture says we actually enter into joy. So in this life, we have the taste of that joy, but there is a day coming by the mercies and grace of God in which we will enter into joy. And if that's where we're headed, let's have that taste now. So brothers, examine your conscience to know whether you truly repent of your sins and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, fill us with your joy and peace of knowing our sins are forgiven. Open our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 119, verses 81 through 96. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fell with longing for your word, while I say, when will you comfort me? Though I've become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen and hallelujah. Brothers, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen to this Old Testament reading from 2 Samuel chapter 13. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Now, it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so frustrated because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Then Amnon said to him, "I'm in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom." Jonadab then said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please, let my sister Tamar come and give me some food to eat, and let her prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to him, Amnon said to the king, "Please, let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent to the house for Tamar, saying, "Go now to your brother's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. And she took dough, kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. She took the pan and dished them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." So everyone went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom, that I may eat from your hand." So Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom to her brother Amnon. When she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? As for you, you'll be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not listen to her. Since he was stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Ammon said to her, "Get up, go away." But she said to him, "No, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you have done to me." Yet he would not listen to her. Then he called his young man who attended him and said, "Now throw this woman out of my presence and lock the door behind her." Now she had on a long-sleeved garment, for in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. Then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her long-sleeved garment which was on her. And she put her hand on her head and went away, crying aloud as she went. Then Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Ammon your brother been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart." So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. But Absalom did not speak to Ammon either good or bad, but Absalom hated Ammon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Now it came about after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Bel Hazar, which is near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, now your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, we should not all go, for we will be burdensome to you." Although he urged him, he would not go, but blessed him. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Ammon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But when Absalom urged him, he let Ammon and all the king's sons go with him. Absalom commanded his servants, saying, "See now, when Ammon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Ammon, then put him to death. Do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." The servants of Absalom did to Ammon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Now it was while they were on the way that the report came to David, saying, "Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left." Then the king arose, tore his clothes, and lay on the ground, and all his servants were standing by with clothes torn. Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, responded, "Do not let my lord suppose they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead, because by the intent of Absalom this has been determined since the day that he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, do not let my lord the king take the report to heart, namely, all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead." Now Absalom had fled, and the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. Jonadab said to the king, "Behold, the king's sons have come. According to your servant's word, so it happened." As soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's son came and lifted their voices and wept. And also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. Now Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom had fled and gone to Geshur and was there 3 years. The heart of King David longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Ammon since he was dead. This is the word of the Lord. And we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Preserve our families from this sin. And make us fathers who will discipline our children. Now, brothers, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Therefore, listen to the New Testament reading from John chapter 17. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and the Son may glorify you, even as you have given him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world, they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they receive them, and truly understand that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. They also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. As we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the saying of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. O God, all-sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things by the word of thy power. Darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever. God over all, blessed eternally, infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holded our soul in life, and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times, and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our disease, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. We beseech you to hear us. In the name of our great King, the one who we find our joy in, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, brothers, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Please visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.